Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to your weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It. This program is brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo Caro, and I will be your host for today's show. If you'd like to hear any of our other shows or hear our show in Spanish, our sister show, Expresate, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to Expresate. If you'd like to visit this show or any of our other shows or share podcasts, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expresate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. Do you have any questions? Do you have any feedback? We'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer free community service training courses, which are open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about our upcoming classes. If you'd like to stay connected with us and find out about any resources or any of our upcoming events, join us on Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram, and give us a like, a care, or even follow us. We'd love to have you with us on our social media. So with that said, I have the pleasure of introducing our guest today, and our show today is International Self-Care Day. And we have with us Catherine Lopez, and she's a licensed clinical social worker and a behavioral health therapist with the Children's Division of Imperial County Behavioral Health. So welcome, Catherine.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited to be here today. And what a fun topic. I'm ready. Let's do this.
And it's really great. And, you know, that's the one thing about self-care is that, you know, it can mean different things to different people. But I think that the first thing that we want to talk about is what is self-care and what is International Self-Care Day?
Okay. So I didn't know this 3 days ago, but I've been doing some research to find out a little bit more. Super fascinating. So, 7/24. July 24th is International Self-Care Day. It was very intentionally chosen to be 7/24 because what it represents is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The goal is to promote, you know, some self-care 24/7. So that's how we ended up doing this in July, which here in Imperial County is the middle of the summer heat and humidity. So it's also good timing because I believe that we all might be just that stress level just a little bit higher because of our climate right now. So it's good that it falls in July for us too, right? So self-care. What is self-care? So self-care is, if you think about it, it goes back to when you're a baby, who takes care of you, right? Somebody feeds you, somebody puts clothes on you, keeps you safe, gives you some healthy boundaries, you know? But as we get older, especially moving into adolescence and adulthood, guess who's in charge of us? Guess who needs to take care of us? That would be us. That's self-care. So that's what self-care is, right? It's just taking good care of yourself. But self-care theory goes above and beyond that. So this idea of a International Self-Care Day, the idea is, so this was, it was officially formed, I want to say, in 2011, by the International Self-Care Foundation out of England. It's a charity based out of England with a global focus, and the idea was to promote that a healthy society starts when each individual first takes care of themselves. And of course, this is rooted even further back in history to what's considered self-care theory. As I dug a little deeper, I was so excited to find out that self-care theory is credited to a nurse from the 70s. Her name is Dorothea Oram. Why I was so excited to find that out is that my grandmother, right? My grandma, her name was Dorothea, right? And she was a nurse. And so it just resonated with me. I'm like, okay, it's like Grandma Dot telling us what to do, take care of ourselves, right? So back in the 70s, there was this nursing theorist, Dorothea Oram, and she published this book called Nursing Concepts of Practice. And she really shifted the way medical practice took a look at individuals having the ability to and the responsibility to care for themselves. So instead of the doctors and the nurses and all these medicines, you know, magically curing illnesses, no, it starts at home. It starts at preventative care. It starts at each one of us taking this more holistic approach to prevent illnesses, to keep ourselves grounded, to keep ourselves having a good balance and just loving life, right? And not waiting until we end up in some hospital, you know, asking for a nurse to fix us, right? So that's a little bit of the, you know, book learning history about self-care day. But, you know, it's really evolved into something much bigger because we hear it as a very common, I guess, catchphrase nowadays. Like you might even be at your job and your boss might be, okay, staff, don't forget to practice some self-care. Or, okay, students in the classroom, don't forget to do your self-care. And sometimes it's kind of like, it feels like a pat on the back that's not very kind because then they load you up with like a bunch of assignments and tasks and you're like, that, how am I supposed to do self-care with all these responsibilities on me, right? So, but anyway, so is it possible to do self-care and make self-care, a part of a healthy lifestyle? Absolutely. And so that's what we're going to be able to talk about today.
So that is really awesome. First off, my first career was a nurse. And so, I didn't know about Dorothea Oram and her starting off this self-care and, you know, your grandma and that's really cool that we can, that it was a nurse that did that, you know. I have a very special love for the nursing profession and I'm glad that she was one of the spearheaders of this self-care because, you know, as healthcare workers, which we all are, sometimes, you know, that's what we do. We take care of people because that's our job. You know, we want to make sure that our patients are safe, that they're healthy. But like I always say, who takes care of the caregivers? You know, we don't take care of ourselves either because we don't feel that we have the time or that we just don't do it or it's not something that's in our practice. And, you know, that's, you hear the term of self-care and everybody, you know, sometimes people think of, oh, you have to go to a spa or, oh, you have to go on vacation to have a really nice, self-care time, but you really don't. I mean, you know, you can do self-care at home, right?
Yeah. And let's talk about that more, because I think it's something we can really get excited about when we really look at self-care in its simplest form. We can all get excited about it. Like you said, it doesn't mean we have to be bougie and get spa passes and massages and pedicures or go to a retreat in Bali or something, you know, that would be nice. But, you know, even something as simple as, you know, when you wake up in the morning, staying away from screens, not checking emails or messages, giving yourself 35 minutes technology free to get up. Walk outside, you know, have a little sunshine, touch your face, go get your favorite beverage, some tea, coffee, drink water, pet your dog, you know, just do a very simple morning routine instead of just waking up and launching into that pressure to just keep doing all this, the things that we feel like we need to be doing all day long. When we slow down just a little bit and do some self-care, as I'm working with kids in therapy, I describe it like, okay, we're going to do some mindfulness. We're going to do something. We're going to just wipe that whiteboard clean because we have all these things we need to do. But when it gets really messy and cluttered, we don't even know where to start. But if we start out by just wiping it super clean, breathing, and then we start to bring the work in and the things we need to handle in, we're able to actually tackle those tasks and enjoy them and get things done. Because we've taken that time to do, you know, a little bit of just whatever it takes. I think that self-care is going to look very different for each of us. And we're going to talk about that more because maybe what I just described sounds awful to you. Maybe you think, no, like the first thing I want to do is get up and run 6 miles. And to me, that sounds pretty awful. I love exercise. I love hiking. I'll hike 6 miles, but maybe not sprinting down a paved road, right? So self-care is going to be very unique to each individual. And again, especially considering, you know, your personal, like, you know, what you're into, as well as your situation, your age, your health, because, Let me jump into, and we can cover this. There's, again, part of the same founding organization for the International Self-Care Day, right? The International Self-Care Foundation. They've established what is considered the seven pillars of self-care. And it can be very helpful to take a look at those, because then we can get a broader definition of what self-care looks like. So we've got, first of all, knowledge and health literacy, getting good information. Knowledge is power, right? If we learn what our needs are, as far as maybe physical health, emotional health, fitness, all that good stuff, the more knowledge we have, we're going to be able to make good informed decisions. The second pillar is mental well-being. The third pillar is physical activity. The fourth is healthy eating. The fifth is risk avoidance. So some of those are pretty easier to comprehend, right? When mental well-being, physical activity, eating healthy, risk avoidance, that could be something as simple as like, okay, well, it could be like, okay, I'm not going to use substances that are toxic, or I'm going to avoid, you know, too much alcohol or whatnot. But it could also be something as simple as I'm going to put sunscreen on, or I'm going to put a bike helmet on when I ride a bike. So under pillar five, we're looking at, you know, self-care is defined as ways that we're preventing, you know, danger and dangerous things. We're taking good care of ourselves. It could also be maybe your immunizations or your routine preventive medical care. Number six, good hygiene, right? We know, brush those teeth, right? Then we don't have to get them pulled later on in life, right? So there's good hygiene, and hygiene can even also go into encompass your sleep hygiene, right? That routine as far as having a healthy bedtime, a good routine that helps us to settle in and get good sleep, you know, and whatnot. So hygiene as far as physical hygiene, sleep hygiene. Pillar number seven, last but not least, it says rational, this is, of course, a British agency, rational use of products and services, which pretty much, you know, kind of takes a look at, you know, are we accessing and using the services and the resources we have available to us? You know, I'm super guilty. I've got health insurance, county employee, right? And please don't ask me. I'm so behind on scheduling my family's dental appointments, right? Thankfully, nobody has any issues, but I got to get on it, right? And so, you know, we need to take a look at, are we using the resources that we have available, and are we following the directions? You know, are you following those recommendations from our doctor? Like, hey, this supplement could help you. This medicine could help you. Are we taking things as prescribed, and, you know, educating ourselves and finding those resources that we need and our family needs. So, again, self-care means for us. So seven pillars of self-care. Great stuff, right?
Definitely. And you know, something like scheduling a health appointment, never would I have thought of that as something as self-care. Or taking or using our, like you said, using your benefits as a county employee or as a whoever, you know, you're employed with, or even your state benefits, to use them effectively and to use them to get yourself taken care of. You know, just the little things that you can do to kind of tweak and make your day a little bit different can be self-care. And, you know, it's really amazing. And you were talking about, you know, scheduling dental appointments. Something like that is needed, because it's good for your good oral health, like you said, so you won't have to have your teeth pulled, you know, when you're 60 years old. And plus another thing, it's, you know, the stuff that builds up is not good for our body. There's toxins. So something as easy as scheduling an appointment can really help us do, you know, take care of ourselves. And one thing that you were mentioning earlier that you do with your clients in therapy is that you're kind of teaching them self-care, right? And you work with children.
Yeah, I have the honor and the privilege to be working with kids, right? Sometimes as young as 3 and 4, sometimes 14, 15, up to 18, right? And their parents, right? Yeah. So, you know, individuals of all ages, and, you know, behavioral health therapy services, you know, a lot of the focus is on, you know, completing check-ins and really helping to do an overall check-in as far as the self-care of an individual, and, you know, establishing some goals and priorities. Like a lot of times, you know, a parent might bring their teenager in because they're moody and irritable, and they're just irritable and grumpy, and they're just yelling at their siblings, and, you know, and, you know, come to find out the teenager is staying up playing like Roblox until 2 a.m. every night, waking up to school at 7 a.m., you know, who wouldn't be grumpy? If I was only sleeping 5 hours a night, I would definitely not be the nicest person to be around, right? And so, you know, again, that's an example of, you know, working with the individual to start identifying, okay, what are some of the things that are out of balance? And what can I do to do some self-care to bring things back into balance, right? And that of course is something you could do working with a therapist, but you can also do a lot of this on your own. And so, you know, today another thing that we can talk about is we can talk about right now, and I'd love to, Patricia, I'd love to get some feedback from you too, because I know that you are a mental health provider. You've got tons of experience, and you've got, you know, your own life story too, is we can share and we can look at some examples that maybe you and I practice or our families practice, and we can share with the listening audience just some really practical ideas about how they can up their game when it comes to self-care in the physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual areas, right? Because those are all specific areas that we can find self-care practices. It sounds a little overwhelming, right? Because if we were just to sit down and be like, okay, we're going to fix all this and be perfect balance, no, it's not going to happen. And so we don't want to get stressed out feeling like we're falling behind on our self-care either. The idea is we want to, you know, check in with our body, check in with our heart, check in with our mind, and just little by little start to identify, okay, you know, where is it that I need a little bit more balance? And what's like a one small achievable goal that I could set for today or for this week? And so maybe the first week it could be something as simple as, yeah, this week I'm gonna do like that therapist on the radio show mentioned, and instead of grabbing my phone first thing and looking at, you know, my social media and my texts, I'm gonna just keep my phone face down for the first 20 minutes of my day, and go outside and take a good couple deep breaths and just, you know, start my day with that clean slate before I let all of the information bombard me, right? Or it could be, gosh, this week I'm going to, you know, every day I'm going to try to see if maybe twice this week I'm going to go for a walk once the weather cools down a little bit in the evening or the morning, and I'm just going to walk around my block and give my dog a hug, you know, pet my cat, right? It can be something as simple as that, where we're intentionally slowing down, checking in with ourselves, and building momentum, right?
So. That's very true, because, you know, there's little things that you can do, like you said, to start your day that don't cost anything. I mean, like for me, you know, my alarm goes off and I have a old English sheepdog, and then I have a Labradoodle. Labradoodle, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, she goes and lays in his spot. And then as soon as my old English sheepdog hears the alarm, she puts her top paws on my bed so that she can be petted. So I have one arm with the Labradoodle and one arm. And that's the way I start my day, by petting my dogs, just kind of doing that. And then my other little one is yapping, trying to get up on the bed. But that to me is very relaxing. That kind of helps start my day and helps getting me going and my brain thinking. Then we go outside, and then I take them outside, and then I just stand outside for a minute, not that long. And then I'll just kind of take a deep breath, look at the backyard, look at them run around, come back inside, get their vitamins and stuff ready. And that's the way I start my day. I mean, it doesn't sound like self-care, but to me, being with my fur kids is a really nice thing, and it helps kind of relax me and wake me up and get me going. Since I don't drink coffee, so that's not a thing for me, but doing that, it just kind of, you know, 'cause you just had the alarm kind of jolt you. And so now you kind of got to relax a little bit and get going.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing example of some self-care that you've already built into your daily routine, right? And thank you for sharing that and inspiring me. I have a dog that is always, always excited for me to wake up, and she's wagging her tail. And I feel like I need to, you know, take some of those tips from you about how to, you know, make it an even better part of my first thing morning routine, because, you know, okay, yeah, I let them go out to go potty and, you know, make sure their needs are met. But it's another thing to really embrace them and pet them and take that deep breath while we're doing it. And, you know, be present, right? And be really present in the moment, right? And not let, again, that pressure for what are we going to do next? And what's on my to-do list for the day to just kind of rob the joy of those simple self-care moments that we can have, right? Again, I definitely wanted to just really emphasize taking those small steps. Don't feeling pressure to do all the things. Start small, build momentum. I have a lot of friends who are teachers. I don't think they're going to be listening to this, but they're going to tease me if they do hear me. I'm going to call out my teacher friends and my sister, who is also a teacher. So what teachers, I'm jealous. You guys have the summer vacation off, right? From work. So a lot of times you're home. Well, actually, a lot of times you're home with your children, which sounds even harder than being in the classroom with 30 kids. But, you know, I have a friend who's like, okay, you know, it's my summer break and I'm so behind and I need to do this. I need to do that. And, you know, you want to go and do this self-care with me? Let's go to the gym. Let's go out and get a massage. Let's go in and I'm going to go and get a procedure done tomorrow. And like within a week's time, just pressuring so much to get so much done, right? We want to spread the love out, right? Right. And build it into our daily habits. Not that there is anything wrong with you know, having big goals one week either. So again, that pro tip of starting the day calm, creating a buffer, delay the digital gratification is, you know, that's a technique I definitely want to really share and emphasize with you all. You know, so for that first 30 to 45 minutes, you're going to not absorb everybody else's emergencies and stressors. You're going to enjoy your morning. Hydrate and breathe. Like you said, I'm not a big coffee person either. I'm already naturally too hyper. So if I have too much caffeine, you can't stop me. But that glass of water to rehydrate in the morning, or that sip of water, that deep breathing, some meditation. You know, we know that mindfulness practice, meditation practice is really big. I mean, you could turn on the TV, probably on Netflix, or you could probably open your phone and open any social media platform or YouTube. And I know on YouTube, there's tons, right? Or even on your Apple apps, Calm, right? There's all kinds of apps and ways that we can access at our fingertips for free, even go to the public library and check out a book, learning about mindfulness, learning about how to practice like a formal, intentional practice of mindfulness. And so that's something maybe in our next segment we can practice a little bit of, because there's so many different ways to do it. You know, as many animals as there are in the world, there's that many different types of mindfulness practices. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, that's too woo-woo. That's too silly. That's not for me. But I would definitely encourage everybody to kind of step out of their comfort zone and try a couple, because, you know, there's a lot of different fun ways to practice that deep breathing, the mindfulness, meditation skills that really help you to do that. I guess what we could call, I'll present it later. We're going to talk about doing a pause, reset, and nourish. And so knowing how to do some mindfulness or some meditation is going to help us to reset as part of our self-care.
You know, that's really important, because it's different things to different people. Like, you know, if somebody isn't a dog lover, doesn't have dogs, doing that self-care is not a thing for them. Everybody has something different, and everybody has a different frame of reference and what they find to be relaxing or to help them reset. So it doesn't have to be the same for everybody. I mean, it can be different things. And it's like, you know, you were talking about, it doesn't have to cost you anything. Something as simple as going outside and taking a deep breath or, you know, just putting your feet in the grass and in the morning, you know, and right now it's kind of dewy in the morning because it's been humid, but just little things like that can help you kind of reset your mind and kind of just take care of yourself. You know, we take care of so many people during the day. We do things, we're going, rushing, doing this and that. And, you know, we don't take a minute for ourselves. And, you know, I think it's so awesome that you are teaching our young folks how to do the self-care, because it's kind of being, you know, taught at an early age where they take it into a daily practice. It's just like, if, you know, if you go to the gym and you started going to the gym when you were a young kid, that's part of your life. That's part of your routine. Or if, you know, you ride your bike with your parents or something like that, that's kind of your routine. It's kind of your thing. And so it's automatic, more automatic than having to teach somebody to take 5 minutes out of their day to practice some kind of self-care, you know, because some people are just going, and they don't take that couple of minutes, or they take those few minutes and they want to do something. And it's like, no, take those few minutes just to kind of pause and reset and take care of yourself. You know, it's really important. I've always said, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will, you know, because we have to. And, you know, like you were talking about earlier, you know, when you're a baby and when you're a child, your parents take care of you. Now you're the parent. Now you're the adult. You've got to do that taking care of yourself now, because, you know, sometimes we don't have anybody. Sometimes we live by ourselves. Sometimes we don't have that significant other in our lives to help us do that, or to tell us, hey, you need to pause and take a minute. So with that said, we're going to pause and take a minute, and we will take a brief commercial break. We're here talking with Catherine Lopez, who is a behavioral health therapist with our children's department, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Let's talk about it, bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. We have the pleasure of speaking with Catherine Lopez, who's a licensed clinical social worker and a behavioral health therapist with the Children's Department with Imperial County Behavioral Health. And we're talking about International Self-Care Day and, you know, some tips, some tricks, some things that you can do to help practice your self-care or to help you start with self-care. Because I know there's some of us out there that don't do a lot of self-care or very limited self-care. And, you know, so I'm going to let Catherine take it away with this, and I'm going to let her give us some examples of self-care that one can do, one can practice, one can start, or maybe you're already doing it and just kind of grow with it and go with it. So Catherine, take it away.
Yes, let's get this conversation started, because I'm really curious, Patricia, to learn more about, you know, I think that the more that we open up this discussion and we talk to one another about self-care, we learn from one another, like something you've tried, maybe it's something that I want to try, and we can inspire each other to be creative and get excited about it. And it doesn't have to feel like this boring task that, yeah, someday I'll have time for it. No, like, let's get excited about it. Let's make this a part of our, you know, culture and just, you know, the way that we're finding more balance and joy in our everyday life. So I do want to bring up, a lot of times we have guilt about practicing self-care. We might have this perception that self-care is just something I don't have time for. It would be selfish for me to practice it because I've got all these people relying on me. I'm so behind on things, and we don't, you know, maybe neglect ourselves, right? Because we don't feel like we're worth it or that we deserve it and that it would be selfish. Maybe we are facing some really, really big mountains in our lives, and we're, you know, providing care and supporting people that have a lot of big struggles. And so we think, oh no, I can't dare, you know, take time off for me because I've got to take care of everybody else. But we want to really work on reframing that and talking about how we shouldn't feel guilty to practice self-care, because just like Patricia said, you know, how are we going to take care of others if we're not first taking care of ourselves, right? And then the people that we love who are around us, our friends, our family, our children, if we work with youth, the youth that are, you know, observing our example we're providing them, my goodness, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not giving other people permission to take good care of themselves either, right? We want to create this culture where we give ourselves permission to do some self-care and we encourage others, right? So that's what makes me so excited about this topic. It's like, okay, yeah, let's get this going. Let's all take better care of ourselves and make it fun. So if we look at some of the different types of self-care, if you kind of put them in little buckets called physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, right? I think it could be great, Patricia, if we kind of talked about what are some examples specifically, and that way you and I can share our experiences and get excited about it. And hopefully we can also, you know, maybe light the fire for our our audience and maybe give others some ideas about where to start. So first off, if we take a look at physical, you know, so under physical self-care, you know, getting enough sleep, eating nourishing foods, exercising, managing our medical needs, that could even include, you know, dancing to a song, singing in the shower, you know, drinking enough water. It could be fancy, you know, treating ourselves to a massage or, you know, a pedicure, doing some breathing exercises. I'm going to start out by sharing my personal physical self-care. I wish I went to the gym. I love going, and I haven't gone consistently. I need to get myself in there. But me, if you take me hiking or you put me out in a lake or the ocean and put me on a paddleboard, I could just spend the whole day out there. I could just walk in the forest for hours. And that is one of my hobbies. I love to hike. I love to paddleboard, both of those. And so it doesn't even feel like exercise because I just absolutely love it. And it just refreshes me inside out and whatnot. So, and it's not something we can always do here in the Imperial Valley, right? We've got to get in the car and drive a good hour and a half to get to San Diego or out to the Colorado River to do some of that, or up the hill to like Pine Valley to go on a nice hike in the forest. But during desert weather in the winter, we can definitely enjoy our outdoors here more too for hiking. So yeah, I don't know. Patricia, how about you? As far as physical, self-care ideas, what have you got going on?
So as far as physical, you had mentioned something about pedicure. Now, that is one of my things. I love just going to sit there in those big massaging chairs. So to me, I take care of both. I take care of the massage and the pedicure. And that is honestly one of the things that I find so relaxing because you're getting, you know, the massage, the person who's doing your pedicures, massaging your legs and stuff like that. So you're getting that relaxation. And I don't do it every week, but it's something nice. And the other thing you talked about paddleboarding and things like that. My balance is not the best. So I don't do the standing on the paddleboard because that I'm afraid I'm going to fall, but I love being around anywhere with the ocean. You know, sometimes my husband and I will take off to San Diego and just go park by the ocean and just kind of watch the waves and hear the waves. And that to me is just very relaxing and very, very zen.
Yeah, there's something about nature noises. And that's why we all listen to the sometimes even on our devices, we'll listen to ocean sounds.
Or those white noise machines too.
Yeah. And really keeping it local and keeping it accessible. I work with a lot of kids who don't get to leave the valley too much. But, you know, here in Imperial Valley, like we've got that aquatic center. And believe it or not, they've got a very affordable morning lap swim, right? And so, you know, even if we can't, you know, get in the car and drive ourselves to jump in the ocean every weekend, you know, it's pretty quiet. You know, you can head over to the aquatic center in the morning and swim some laps a couple days a week. It's very affordable. Things like that where we can, you know, I always encourage everyone to think about, okay, what was something you enjoyed when you were little, before you had all the stressors of your life? You know, maybe you just really liked to climb trees. Maybe you collected rocks. Maybe you were, you know, crazy into back in the day listening to cassettes on like an old fashioned, you know, maybe record player or cassette player. And you just haven't given yourself the freedom to do that type of, you know, recreational, just something just for fun. You know, we can keep it simple and go old school and, you know, bust out grandpa's record player and listen to some records and dance to them. Right. There's a lot of ways that we can, you know, find incorporate physical movement into our day, you know, without necessarily, you know, having those bucket list hobbies, right, that we've got to go out of county for. So,
yeah. And, you know, we do have a beautiful area. I mean, sometimes during the summer, it's pretty hot and stuff like that. But even if you can sit down in your backyard and just look at Mount Signal, you know, and just relax. I mean, right now, maybe it's not the best time, but, you know, just those kind of things, just kind of something that doesn't cost you anything, doesn't do anything. You can find views of the mountains. You can find views of our nature here in Imperial County. I mean, there's places to go bird watching. And you know, where you can relax and things like that and just.
Yes, you're inspiring me to share something. Okay. So, you know, again, keeping it local, keeping it accessible. This is something that everybody in Imperial County could check out. So we have a local, the Imperial Valley Desert Museum in Ocotillo. We also have like the Sunny Bono, reserve, right, of the Salton Sea area. I know for a fact that, because it's been going on for years, the Desert Museum in Ocotillo, they offer guided local hikes. Of course, during the cooler months, like October through like March, right? But I think it's every other weekend. They're fantastic. You know, so if you were to take a trip out to the museum or even just check out their webpage, you can, and they're family friendly. They've got all kinds of great information. They keep you safe. They teach you about our, you know, native plants, our native geology and geography, and you get outside, you get movement, you make friends. So yeah, there's definitely, like you said, it's a very beautiful area to live in, and we've got to enjoy the beautiful desert weather, especially during the months when it's easier to be outside for longer periods of time. And, you know, there was a time in my life, I think at our local mall, right? We've got people who walk laps. It's a
mall walker space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a really great community of people who get up and they walk laps around the mall. The stores aren't open, so it's not overstimulating. I think the lights are even dimmed. I've done that a few times. So we got to go out and get our steps in. My goodness. Okay. So jumping right into mental and emotional, those are two other areas that are, you know, similar. Mental, when we're thinking about mental self-care, we're thinking a little bit more about, you know, learning, you know, stimulating that creativity, trying new experiences, you know, and then as far as emotional, we're talking a lot more about that, those feelings, right? That emotional expression, you know, being compassionate towards ourselves, having healthy boundaries, right? So as far as mental, what's something you've done, Patricia, even this summer that you're like, oh, that was kind of a new experience and it helps my brain grow a little bit. Can you think of anything?
Well, I think it's going to be an unpopular thing, but there's a game that stimulates your brain that's supposed to help for brain and help prevent, you know, early onset decline or cognitive decline. And I play it on my phone, but and I shouldn't be doing that, but maybe on something else. But it's a game. It's Mahjong. And there's been a lot of studies that have been done on it where it helps stimulate your brain. So that's kind of my mental thing that I've kind of
started. I had no idea about that. That's fascinating. And if the research there that it's helpful, I mean, we know that, you know, we're going to use screen time, so we might as well do it in a way that's supporting us, right? Yeah.
So that's my mental, that's my thing that I've started doing well this summer.
Yeah.
So maybe next time we talk, I'll be a little bit smarter.
You know, for the first time in a long time, I've started reading books, and it started out with picking up a book at a little free library that I just got hooked on. And then I started buying this author's books on like eBay for super cheap. And I saw some at the local library too, you know, so I hadn't given myself permission to just enjoy reading since I was younger, you know, after, you know, work and college and all the studying, I felt like my brain was kind of burnt out on reading and I wasn't enjoying it, but I'm enjoying reading again. So that's a really great mental self-care that I've been able to bring back, right? Now, emotional, those feelings.
More difficult.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to, these examples, we could do journaling, affirmations, you know, saying positive things to yourself. This one I love, learning to say no, right? Protecting our boundaries, right? You know, not overcommitting to things, celebrating your wins, practicing gratitude, laughter, you know, get with those people that make you giggle, spend some time with them, or even just watching that show or whatever it is that really gets you laughing, practicing forgiveness, expressing your feelings. It could be to another person or through drawing, through art, just talking aloud, maybe talking to your pet, helping others and letting go of negativity, right? Emotional well-being, self-care ideas, anything that you've done lately?
Not emotional, but as far as I take it back. I have. I got a couple of sayings that I think are really something to start my day, and I put them on my computer screens. So when I turn on my computer, because I have to do it every day, they're there. Or when my computer shuts down, they're there as part of my lock screens. So, you know, every time I turn on the computer, I read them so that I can kind of get into that mode. And it's just, you know, something that I do for my support.
No, yeah, for sure. Sometimes it's even just noticing something that's inspiring us and just like really focusing it for a minute. I was even in a store the other day and I saw this little picture. I should have bought it. And it said, start the day calm, finish the day strong. And I was like, that's kind of cool. And then I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I was like, wow, that's self-care right there, you know. If we just jump into our day with that big ball of stress, no, start the day calm, and we're going to be able to move through it, you know, with more finesse and more ease, you know. And so, you know, those sayings or those quotes or those even, you know, verses or those song lyrics, you know, whatever it is that, you know, gets your mojo going in that positive direction, right? You know, I'm sure those Taylor Swifties out there would be able to belt out a couple songs that get them started in the morning, or I don't know, World Cup is big time right now, you know, so I'm sure there's a lot of soccer things that are, you know, relative to that, you know, as far as affirmations, as far as, you know, accomplishing your goals and whatnot, keeping it humble. Okay, so a couple more, I know we're going to run out of time here. Social is a huge one. We could probably wrap up with that. You know, taking a break from social media and making real connections, right? Having that cup of coffee with friends, picking up the phone, calling that loved one, joining a club, joining a chess club and making new friends, finding ways to connect in very meaningful ways.
It's really important. And one thing that I've done ever since my, you know, our daughter was at home and she was younger, we would all have dinner together and no phones, no electronics, no nothing. You just sit down, and even if it's for 15 minutes that we'd sit and eat, we would sit, we would eat, and we would be present. And we discussed anything that needed to happen or anything that was going on, and that was that. And I do the same thing with my husband now. We sit down and we have dinner. That's our thing. So, and it's something small. We have to eat, you know, so.
Yeah, it's just more meaningful connection, right, when we go analog and turn off the devices. So, yeah, I think that was a New Year's goal for a lot of individuals, was to just go analog, was the catchphrase at the New Year, is just, you know, turn off the devices, you know, not all the time, but just enough to kind of make sure we're rekindling. I know there's cafes in Europe that actually focus on no devices, and they've got board games, they've got books, and the whole idea is to get people into a community space where they actually connect with each other, right? So
with that said, we are going to take our second commercial break, and we will be right back with Catherine Lopez, and we are talking about International Self-Care Day. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Wow, we've had a really interesting show in Imperial Valley. I hope you are joining us now for the third segment of our International Self-Care Day, when we're talking with Catherine Lopez, who's a licensed clinical social worker and a therapist in our children's department at Imperial County Behavioral Health. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot of really cool things about, you know, different ways of practicing self-care in different areas that you can practice self-care, like the physical, the mental, the emotional. And we kind of touched a little bit on social, and I think that we're going to continue that part in our third segment. And so let's talk a little bit more about social. What do you do, Kat?
Ooh. I mean, I think being a therapist, I'm socializing a lot, right? In my professional role, I spend a lot of time just, you know, talking to people, right? And that's beautiful. I think as far as my own social self-care, so when we think about social self-care, we can think about, you know, leaning on friends, spending more time with loved ones, building healthy relationships. And so, you know, I feel like, and I had this conversation with a youth that I was working with the other day about how I must have been in high school. And I think one of my high school teachers says, you know, gosh, you guys realize you can only have one or two like best friends at a time, right? And he was kind of challenging us, is that true or false? And his point was, you know, to really be present and participate in a relationship fully, it really does take a lot of attention and a lot of time investment, right? And so we live in this world where we're so busy and we have all these connections and we connect with people busy, 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 social media, we're getting all this information, but sometimes it can be very superficial. It's not a deep connection. And that's okay, right? Because we realistically don't have that much free time, and others don't have that much free time for us to all be up in each other's business knowing what we're all doing 24/7. But that doesn't mean that it's not important to have that deeper sense of connection with others. And what I'm not talking about like a romantic relationship or even a best friend relationship here. You can have a very deep connection with somebody that literally could be your barista at Starbucks, right? Because that could be your person that every morning you walk over there at your local coffee shop and you're just like, you know, hey, Jenny, wow, did you get your hair done? It looks great on you. And there's this true, genuine connection because, you know, you share this space on this planet Earth and you support each other, even if it's just a gentle hello in the morning that's that supportive, right? Because it's a genuine, gentle, and true connection. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that social self-care is trying to remind myself to slow down and enjoy the moment and really listen to others. So how about you?
You know, when you were talking about a barista at a local coffee place, and I go to a place that's right here by my office, and it has there's a club that you can join. You pay so much a month, and you get your drinks unlimited. And I guess I've been going there so long, they already know what my drink is. They know my phone number and everything like that. And just that social connection. Just that, you know, somebody remembers me, somebody knows me, or, you know, that kind of thing. It just feels good. And you know, when I go through, hey, Miss Patricia, how are you? Or, hey, are you going to have your regular, you're going to have a kitchen sink cookie this morning or something like that. And it's just that connection, that social connection that, and of course that's my self care because I do go through and get my drink, which is, my one caffeine a day is my soda. And, diet. And, but that's, I guess that could be one of my self cares too. And going through there and just hanging out, not hanging out, but just that hello, that acknowledgement that, hey, how are you? Kind of thing. It makes you feel really good. You know?
I love that. Yeah, I know I work with a lot of youth. I keep talking about these beautiful young humans that I work with. And, you know, in one of our therapy models, we do like this inventory where they'll draw circles of all the different people that are significant in their lives and how close they are to each of them. And it never ceases to impress me about how sometimes a kid will just be like, you know what? And let's talk like a kid, low key, one of the most important people in my day is like my bus driver. My bus driver is great. Like the highlight of my day is the way that they greet me and make me feel, you know. And so, you know, that social self-care is not only being on the receiving end, but also the giving end, right? Because we do live in an age of like a lot of disconnection. And, you know, if we start to accept and recognize how valuable it is for each of us to receive that type of attention, and when we reciprocate it and we're kind of paying it forward, you know, we create this beautiful community out there and we can be more connected. It can feel really hard, especially in a community like ours where, you know, I know we don't have the greatest public transportation system. I know there are not a lot of activities there. You know, sometimes it's like you got to be able to get in a car and drive far, and it can feel really hard. Like me, you know, I'm a transplant. I've been out here for almost 2 decades now, but, you know, it took me a while to find my outdoorsy people until mm-hmm. I went to that museum and I met some like-minded people that enjoyed the outdoors. And then I was like, wow, they exist here in Imperial County. There are people that love walking around and looking at rocks just as much as I do, you know? And so to be able to develop that social connection and that social self-care, you know, sometimes we got to put ourselves out there and maybe, you know, sign up for a class at the, you know, local recreation center. They've got them for all ages, you know, hey, let's shout out. I want to join the pickleball club. You know, I mean, you can find your people. You just got to put yourself out there and sign up for things and sign up for a dance class over here or, you know, go into the library. I think there's a couple places in the community where they have chess clubs, you know, things like that just to, you know, stimulate those connections because sometimes it can feel really hard to find your people too.
As long as you're open and ready to receive, I think that, you know, there's, if it's there, you can find it, you know, you'll find it. It'll come to you. You can manifest it. You can whatever, so that it can come to you and you can have these social connections.
The other that segues really good into maybe the next category, the last one, which is the spiritual connection, right? Because I think spiritual communities are also places where you can find that connection in relationships. But I feel like I interrupted you. You were gonna bring something up.
I was gonna say the exact same thing you are. See, like minds think alike. Great minds think alike.
Yeah. So when we talk about spiritual self-care, we could, you know, consider how that could involve like reflecting on your personal values, practicing gratitude, even connecting with nature. You know, not everybody has like a very defined, you know, faith or, you know, group that they practice, you know, a religion with, but, you know, spiritual self-care can look different for each individual. And we know is just such an important part of who we are as humans. We're very spiritual beings, and that spiritual self-care is, you know, a high priority. And a lot of times, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example, from my own personal life. I think that, you know, for me, getting out and connecting with nature is huge because, you know, I just see the beauty and the, you know, the creation and the gorgeousness and, you know, how intricate everything is. And it just really helps me to have a lot of hope and faith and joy, right, to see the beauty of the outdoors. And so, but, you know, for sure, definitely, you know, joining a local church community or whatnot, you know, you could definitely, you know, of course, do a ton of self-care in that area, right, to be learning and growing in your faith and those connections.
And it's really nice because people don't think of this as a desert, but the desert still has its own, you know, it has its own flowers, it has its own thing. So you can go out there and, you know, like you said, going up the mountains, there's beauty in whatever you look at, and you can practice some self-care. I mean, to me, one of my self-care things that I do every single day is as soon as I walk out of this office, I am a wife, I'm a mother, I'm no longer an employee. And I decompress, or I take my self-care and I just relax driving home. And I see trees, I see fields, I see things like that. And that to me is just enjoyable. Yeah, there might be some different smells and stuff, but that to me is, it just enriches the Imperial Valley to me. You know, I like the smell of alfalfa. I like the smell of those things. And just to kind of, right now I don't roll down my windows, but, you know, during the wintertime, I'll roll down my windows and just to smell those country smells. You know, that's the Imperial Valley, and that's the area that I grew up in. And that to me is self-care. It's just, it helps me relax.
Yeah. So I want to share. So spiritual self-care, nurturing your soul, finding meaning, purpose, inner peace, not necessarily requiring a religious affiliation, but intentional practices to connect you to something greater than yourself, and all of that. So, you know, and there are a lot of very beautiful faith groups here in Imperial County, right? And there's spaces where people gather, they have services, there's, you know, prayer and communion and potlucks. Who doesn't love a good potluck, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, if that's something that, you know, you've been, you know, it can be hard to be connected, you know, but those are great opportunities to create that self-care and to foster some more balance in our lives for sure. So, so with that, I think that pretty much summarizes, you know, a whole bunch of different ways that we can, you know, focus on our own self-care. You know, I think, we had talked about during our break real quick, we had talked about, gosh, there's a lot to do, but it's really important to remember that, you know, we don't have to do it all at once, right? It's just a matter of slowing down, checking in with ourselves and finding where to start that makes the most sense. And so I do want to share with you all a resource really quick. I had kind of like introduced this earlier, Pause, Reset, and Nourish, acronym PRN, to pronounce Pause, Reset, Nourish, PRN, to promote well-being. And this was a method that was developed during the pandemic by a health science educator, Diana Tikas, right? And the idea is very simple. Pause, check in with yourself to find out how you're feeling, taking those deep breaths, and try to increase that awareness of how are you doing, you know? And in order to practice self-care, we kind of have to do some check-ins first to figure out, okay, wait, where is it that I need more self-care? You know, maybe you don't need to brush your teeth more regularly, and maybe you've been going to the dentist, so that's definitely not important, right? But check in with yourself, take that pause. Pause, reset. Reset would be actively doing something to help yourself to just be more calm, again, wiping that slate clean. And then the nourish is to, again, choose your self-care activities, right? Soak in something that's going to replenish you. Turn your focus towards something that's going to help you, right, to work on your self-care. So just really taking that deep breath, going, okay, what is it that I need to do in this moment for me or today? And again, like Patricia and I were talking about earlier, it can be something super simple. We might not have time to do a 20-minute or even a 15-minute or a 10-minute self-care routine. Pro tip, in my busy workday, my number one self-care strategy is when I do take a break and use the restroom, I do a mindfulness break where as I'm washing my hands, I take a couple deep breaths and I help myself to, I intentionally will notice the temperature of the water, the soft and fluffiness and the smell. I like to have like a nice smelling soap. And I'll take a deep breath and I'll hydrate my hands. So within that we all have to wash our hands anyways, right? We should be washing our hands. And so even within the scope of an activity that we need to be doing anyways, we can turn that into a self-care moment, to help us to reset and to be in a better space and have more balance, and set the stage for the rest of our day.
That's true. And, you know, you don't have to start big. You can start small, you know, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. But as long as you do it and as long as you take care of yourself. So we've had a really interesting show. Catherine has showed us a lot of different ways in which we can reconnect and do some self-care for ourselves, because we have to take care of ourselves. So we've come to the end of our show, and I really want to thank Catherine Lopez from the licensed clinical social worker here at Imperial County Behavioral Health for taking the time out of her day and talking to us about self-care. And, you know, we really do want to acknowledge International Self-Care Day, not just self-care on that day, but on every day. And it, you know, International Self-Care Day reminds us that taking care of ourselves isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. Small, consistent acts of self-care can improve our mental, emotional, physical well-being, helping us show us to be our best selves for the people and communities we care about. Remember, taking care of yourself is just one of the healthiest investments you can make. And with that said, my name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I thank you for listening to our show, Let's Talk About It, and we'll be back with you next week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte-Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.